Today, I'm going to be reading from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 16. I'm going to be reading from the American Standard Version. And it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he hath put forth all his own, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And stranger will they not follow, but will flee from, for they know not the voice of strangers. The parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Jesus therefore said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and go out, and shall find pasture. The thief cometh not, but that he may steal, and kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life, and may have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. He that is a hireling, and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are, not behold, the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf snatcheth them, and scattereth them. He fleeth because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and mine own know me. Even as the Father knoweth me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of his fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock, one shepherd."
Appreciate the reading of the scripture by our young man there, and Brother James is doing a good job. Appreciate him and his parents and what the job that they're doing with him. The elders have asked myself and Brother Braswell and Brother Royce and also Brother Popejoy to speak on the subject of elders. They want me to talk about the role and responsibilities of elders. And when we consider the great responsibility of elders in the church, it's not something that is taken lightly. When we consider this great subject of the roles and responsibilities of elders, it is something that all of us must take into account and think about. Some say that this is one of the most stressful times of a congregation. I say that it's one of the most exciting times. The very fact that you can talk about the subject in hopes of appointing elders is a beautiful thing. And the reason why is because not often men qualify themselves to enter into the greatest office in the world. Some think that the greatest office in the world is some dignitary. But the greatest office in the world is an elder in the Lord's church. And when we consider that, I hope, pray, and trust that some of the things that we say on this morning will help us to have a greater appreciation for the role and responsibility of shepherds, elders, bishops, pastors. We consider this great subject. David said long ago, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. If anybody understood what a shepherd was about, it was David. The reason why we want to start in John chapter 10 is because if anybody could teach us an example of a shepherd, it's Jesus the Christ. And this fits right in line with the theme that I've been dealing with for the last couple of weeks, dealing with the sayings of Jesus. When we consider Jesus demonstrating what a true shepherd is, Jesus in John 10 demonstrates that a true shepherd was one that laid down his life for the sheep. We know for a fact that Jesus himself laid down his life for the sheep, for the world. Jesus is the protector, the provider. He is the pattern. And ultimately, Jesus became the propitiation, meaning the satisfaction to God for our sins. When we stop and we consider this very closely, we notice great intimacy in the language of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 10, in verse number 3, we notice words like hear, voice, name, lead. We understand the concepts in verse 4 and 5, concepts such as attending, leading, following, being familiar because of the instructions. One thing about a shepherd and one thing about a sheep, there is an intimate relationship there. Furthermore, we see in verse number 10, Jesus gives us a demonstration of the evil one. For the thief come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It's interesting that when you consider a wolf is always looking for prey. He's looking for sheep, especially sheep that are lingering alone. This is why when we consider Jesus being the good shepherd, friends, I know for a fact that Jesus knows exactly what he's talking about when he said, "But I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." Paul would use the similar concept in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 through 25, as it relates to the one that was ensnared by the devil, literally intoxicated with error. The sheep got to a point where they were intoxicated with error. But it is through meek instruction that will help an individual come out of that. In verses 11 through 13, Jesus, notice, identifies himself as the good shepherd. Now, friends, look at this. Jesus said in verse number 11, "I am the kalos poimen. I am the good shepherd." Jesus uses the word good there on purpose because this gives identity to himself. He was definitely the good shepherd, and he desires for those who are shepherds to be good as well. Jesus' identity is relevant to our lesson on this morning, and the reason why is because of the great insight in verses 11 through verse 13. Notice, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, one who is paid, notice, he is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep. He sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. He runs, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep." One thing about the good shepherd, he cares about the sheep. The hireling doesn't care about the sheep, but the good shepherd does. We consider this and we want to use this as a platform for a few seconds, that any man that has a desire to be an elder, a shepherd, a pastor in the Lord's church, must not be a hireling. He cannot be one that is just guarding the sheep because he's paid to do it. He's doing it because he truly loves God. He truly loves the church. He loves the people. He loves the souls of men. But then notice, we understand that Jesus said in verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my sheep. I'm known by my own. And as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Here he's talking about the Gentile world. One thing I love about Jesus Christ, he wasn't concerned only for the Jews, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But he was concerned for all men. Those who are outside of the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the Gentile world, which teaches us also that as followers of Jesus Christ, we should not be concerned just for those who are in the church, but those who are outside of the church. Why? Because God has always wanted people to come in. So Jesus demonstrates to himself that he cares about all men. Shepherds must do that. But then notice verse 17. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again, resurrection. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command have I received from my Father. Let's take notice of some things real quick. When we consider the responsibility of elders, the roles, I want us to take note of number one. Elders are Holy Spirit qualified men. In Acts 20 and verse number 28, we know there see very clearly. Let's take our Bibles and let's go through this real swiftly. And then I guarantee you we'll be right where we need to be here in a few minutes. You come back tonight, Brother Braswell will be dealing with qualifications. But notice what the Bible here says. Paul talking to the Ephesian elders, and he says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd or to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now notice, when we see that elders or shepherds, pastors, let me make this quick point. I myself, being a preacher, a minister, I'm not the pastor of the church. Pastors are elders. Pastors are shepherds, bishops, presbyters. I know the religious world around us call the minister, the evangelist, the preacher, pastor. But the Bible doesn't call him pastor unless he occupies that particular position. But here, Paul, as he's talking to the shepherds here, and he says, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. It's the Holy Spirit that make elders, shepherds, bishops, pastors. They have a responsibility to lead the congregation as close to heaven as humanly possible. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 8, Titus 1, verse number 1 through 9. But also, when we consider elders, they are ordained men. Acts 14 and verse number 23. And even though we understand that they are ordained men, chosen men, they are stewards. Turn your Bibles to the book of Titus and look at Titus chapter 1 and look at verse number 7. In Titus 1 and verse number 7, we want to make a very clear point. The Apostle Paul makes this point. It's an excellent point. Notice, Titus 1 in verse number 7, for a bishop, the New King James Version renders, a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God. Now, a steward is one who has the responsibility to take care of that which doesn't belong to him. The church belongs to Jesus Christ. And because the church belongs to Jesus Christ had placed leaders in the church to care for it, to be stewards of it. An elder is a steward. A pastor is a steward. And the very fact that they are stewards ought to show us and demonstrate to us that when a man becomes an elder or is an elder, the church doesn't belong to him. Hence, Peter would say, do not lord over God's heritage. But I want us to take notice of something. In Ephesians chapter 4, we want to just take a quick aside. Here, we'll take notice that Jesus left gifts for the church. God is the one that created the church, Ephesians 2 and verse 10, and we'll talk about that more in a few minutes. But in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11, we understand that God, Jesus Christ, gave gifts to men, verse 8, and these gifts are here in verse number 11. And he himself, talking about Christ, going back up to verse 8, that's the context, gave some to be apostles. Now notice the gifts that Jesus gave to the church. Some prophets, some evangelists, that would be myself. Also, Brother Brian, Brother Royce. But notice also, and some pastors. Notice the plurality of pastors there. And some teachers. Now, here we see apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Five different gifts in the church. This is for the caretaking, the stewardship of the body of Christ. There are two of these friends, and I just want to make this quick point, apostles and prophets who are no longer in the church physically, yet we have their written word. But we have three of them that are still offices that are in the church. That's evangelists, pastors, teachers. That's not including deacons, Philippians 1:1. But I want to make that point there because when we consider the office or the government of the church, what a great privilege. What a great privilege for a man to be an elder, pastor, a bishop in the Lord's church, be part of the government of the church. The government of the church. We understand the government of our United States of America and the different facets of the government. But friends, the Lord's church, the church of Christ, has a government as well. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 18, it is God, the one that put them in the body, and he did this as it pleased him. So why is the church important? Why is it important for the church to have elders? And why is it important for the elders to have roles and responsibilities? Friends, do you know or realize that there is only one entity that Jesus Christ shed his blood for? He didn't shed his blood for the government. The civil government. He didn't shed his blood for the home, if you will. He shed his blood for the church, for the called out ones. We notice this in Genesis chapter 2, Daniel 2, and Ephesians 2. Yet, when we consider the government of the church, it is designed, number one, to develop, to grow, to guide the Lord's church, for the equipping of the saints. We see that in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 12. It is also designed for the work of ministry or service. We see that also in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. But it's also designed for the edification or the building up of the body of Christ. Now, these different offices are designed for this. The elders' roles and responsibilities fall under this particular realm. When we consider this, what a blessing. Because elders are men who assist, that's key, who assist in bringing the church to unity. Notice Ephesians 4, look at verse 13 and 14. Now I know when I put this in my notes, I put the word assist, those ears were going to go up. They assist in the growth and development of the Lord's church. In verse number 13, notice, till we all come to the unity of the faith, that's number one, to the knowledge of the Son of God, that's number two, to a mature or perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. But Brother Bono, why this angle? Why are you coming from this angle? Because the roles and the responsibilities of the elders mean nothing if this is not the goal. The goal is to grow the church up, to put the congregation in remembrance and position to be built up, but also to put them in the position to know for a fact that they are servants and they ought to know Jesus Christ. But what is maturity? Notice this, and this is from the Greek itself. This is not Wikipedia or Webster. Maturity is wanting nothing or needing nothing necessary to completeness, to consummate or to bring together human integrity, listen to this, and virtue. One of the essentials that God has called us by, 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. I say that to say this, that elders' roles and responsibilities in the church is to help the child of God with their integrity and the virtue of God come together and grow and mature, to blossom. If an elder doesn't know that, then he doesn't know what he's doing. And the reason why is because, for this reason, roles and responsibilities of elders are very and vitally important. Can I say this? Every father needs to know what I said up to this particular point. Every father. If a man is having children but don't know why he's having children, he needs to stop having children. I say that in love because children are brought into this world knowing nothing. Romans chapter 9 and verse number 11. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 39. And it's our responsibility to fill their hearts up with the word and the will of God that they may be the people of God. Number 3. When we consider elders and their responsibility in the governing body of the church, notice Hebrews 13 and verse number 7. This is where everybody wanted me to get to finally. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 7, notice what your Bible there has to say. There is one of the responsibilities and roles of a shepherd, a pastor, an elder, a bishop, a presbyteros, if you will. Remember those who rule over you. There's our word, rule. Who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Now, notice this text. What is one of the roles and responsibilities of a shepherd? One of his roles, number one, is to be a ruler over the people. Now, we live in a time today that people don't like people ruling over them. But this is God's plan. But another thing they're supposed to do is to speak the word, to speak the word of God, to have genuine faith, meaning that they demonstrate trust in God because they know the word themselves. And also notice the outcome of their conduct. They ought to be men who conduct themselves according to the word and the will of God all of the time. When we consider this, they are supposed to be men who are watching over the flock, watching over new converts, and encouraging them through their lifestyle and through their teaching. Look at 1 Peter 5 and verse number 2 as we further this concept. In 1 Peter 5 and verse number 2, we see the idea of a shepherd. The idea of a shepherd. We have these different ideas for the same office, if you will. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 2, notice, shepherd, poimen, the flock of God, which is among you. Now notice the first thing that we see. We see that a shepherd is to feed the flock of God, which is among them. Which says here that the role and responsibility of the shepherd is to the local congregation. This particular eldership that we have, Brother Dennis, Brother Rick, and Brother Don, thank you. I had to look at you, I'm sorry about that. but they are not to preside over Southgate. They don't preside over Fifth and Grape. They don't preside over other congregations. This is not a hierarchy that they preside over different works. Their presiding is over this work. They have a responsibility to this work here. And that's the beauty of what God did as relates to autonomy. But then notice what he says in the verse. Serving as overseers, and we'll have more to say about this here in a few minutes, as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. Notice the attitude, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Nor as being lords over those. Notice here's this word here, entrusted to you. There are elders. What a blessing to know that we have leaders that we can look at and look to. That's their responsibility. That's their role. When we consider this, this particular idea is the supply, to supply the necessities for the souls of the church, to furnish pasture for food. Notice this. A shepherd in the Near East was responsible for watching out for the enemy. The enemy that was trying to attack the sheep. They were to be defending the sheep from attackers, healing the wounded and the sick sheep, finding and saving the lost and the trapped sheep, loving them and sharing their lives while earning their trust. This means that this includes nurturing, which is training, teaching. Training and teaching what? The inner man. They ought to be training the inner man of every single member. That's their role. That's their responsibility. Elders are therefore responsible for the entire curriculum of the congregation. And this is why we have engraving heavenly truths here. Because we want everybody to be on the same page. Everybody ought to be learning the same thing. And the reason why is because if you get someone who is doing their own thing, they could possibly lead people astray. Friends, the role and responsibility of the elders to make sure that truth is being taught, not just from the pulpit, but every single classroom, every single devotional. Even when we have our own devotionals in other locations, they ought to make sure that whoever is teaching that, they're teaching the truth. But also, of these responsibilities, they can delegate them. They can delegate these responsibilities, but ultimately, the responsibility is theirs. You know, we have a responsibility to hold our elders responsible. Our souls are at stake. All of these responsibilities fall under their rule, their authority, which implies that teachers and teaching has to be true, has to be right. Look at Hebrews 13, look at verse 17. In Hebrews 13 and verse number 17, we see a different aspect of the role and responsibility of elders. Obey those who have the rule over you, notice, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do it with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Now, there's a few things that I want us to learn here by way of implication. What do we mean by implication? It means that it's not directly stated, but it's taught in it. Notice, we know for a fact that elders, they are rulers, which imply that we submit to that rulership. Here we see that we are supposed to be submissive. That's directly stated. For they watch out. Notice the responsibility, watching out for our souls. How is that? Well, that's happening through counseling. It's happening through prayer, through embracing, through crying, laughing, spending time with the sheep. Elders have a responsibility to spend time with the sheep. Jesus would use the same idea in John 21 and verse number 6 when he was talking to Peter, and he told Peter, feed my sheep. Same idea there. Peter, you have a responsibility. Peter would later on in 1 Peter chapter 5 would name himself as an elder in the Lord's church. But then turn to Philippians 1 and look at verse number 1. An elder is a bishop or an overseer. It's probably one of my favorite points right here. When we consider a bishop, an overseer, we see one that is very intimate. Can we let that sink in a little bit? Intimate. Close. A man who is in charge with the duty. Seeing that the duty is done right and proper. a guardian, a superintendent. They oversee the work of evangelism, edification, benevolence, the work of the church. Notice verse number 1 and 2 again. The elders who are among you, I exhort, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. I wish I had time to develop that for a little bit. A witness of the sufferings of Christ. Every Lord's church, Acts 14:23, ought to have elders that believe in the suffering of Christ. I truly believe that if elders kept this as their focus, there would not be one congregation that would go astray. They have a responsibility to make sure that Christ is their focus, the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that is to be revealed. That's the resurrection. Shepherds, notice, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers. There's our word here. The word here literally means to take oversight. Comes from a compound Greek word, episkopeo, which literally means, friends, to look upon, to inspect, to oversee, to look after, to care after, to look at carefully. God gave elders the right to look into our lives. Uh-oh, watch out. You know, elders have a responsibility to look into our lives, to make sure that we're not living improper, unfruitful, sinful lives. They have that right. God gave it to them. Now, I want us to think about that. That's in the word itself. Notice this. When we consider this, the idea comes from Psalm 23, verse 4, 1 Samuel 17, 34 through 36. But I like this, Ezekiel. Ezekiel would say, as relates to Ezekiel 20 and verse number 37, he talks about the rod. And the rod was used for different reasons, but the one I want to use this morning is that they would use the rod to count and to look for parasites in the sheep. Notice what Ezekiel says in Ezekiel 20 and verse 37. God says, I will cause you to pass under the rod. God wanted the people to pass under the rod because he wanted to make sure that he found those who were faithful and those who were not. No wonder the psalmist would say, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. It's a beautiful thing when you find an eldership that is looking into your life with the goal of making sure that you're saved. But we live in a world today where we would rather expose our lives on the internet than for someone to look into our lives personally, hoping that we're saved. This also implies that even though we have business of our own, that God desires for our business to be open to a certain degree that we can receive the help that we need. Can I say this? I would rather a brother or a sister see some things in my life on this time side of judgment than for me to enter into the judgment and realize it then. Shepherds have a grave responsibility. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 12, notice what the Bible here says. And friends, we can be confident with this information here. It's right out of the scriptures. They have a responsibility to correct the sheep. He uses the word admonish. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 12, and we urge you, brethren, notice what Paul is telling the Thessalonian brethren, to recognize those who labor among you. There's that language again. And are over you in the Lord. He's not talking about the preacher. He's talking about the elders. And admonish you. The word admonish there literally means to put in mind, by implication, to caution, to reprove gently. And one thing about a shepherd is not trying to beat the sheep, The shepherd is trying to save the sheep. Gently. The word admonish means to warn. And by this, elders promote growth in Christian wisdom, piety, happiness, and holiness. Friends, do I need to say that again? That in admonishment, in warning, in cautionally reproving and gently correcting, elders promote growth in Christian wisdom, piety, happiness, and holiness. Yes, God desires for his people to be happy and holy. And the elders have a responsibility to foster this, to promote this. We see this also in Acts 20 and verse number 32. They do it through their instruction. An elder cannot truly be effective if they don't smell like sheep. Brother Stephen, I wasn't going to do this, but I'll do it anyway. He'll be mad at me. That's fine. Had a great lesson on Wednesday night as relates to the struggles of a shepherd. It was work. And one thing about shepherding, it is work. Because in that work, we find that the shepherd really has a desire to know the sheep, to make sure that the sheep have everything that they need, and that all this is physical. But God likens us unto sheep, and we're spiritual beings. And sometimes, spiritually, we get dirty. An elder has a responsibility to go into the life of that Christian, to diagnose the situation, if I can use that term, and to methodically and with precision help the Christian out of the situation. That's a responsibility. Can I say this before I give you my last point? That's the responsibility of a father. Mike, Nate, Maya, Michaela, those are my children. I have a responsibility to them. And it doesn't end because they turn 18. The role changes, though. The role changes. And I believe that's where the elder is. The elder is not bombarding your life, but because they have taken the qualifications and they have added them to their life, they have put them into practice, their lives are an open showcase. Let me give you this last point. And I believe this is probably one of the most important. Go to Titus 1:9 again. Titus 1 and verse number 9. They have a responsibility to rebuke the gainsayer. The one who talks back. Oh, man. I remember when I was a kid, we used to talk back sometime. And next thing you know, we was picking ourselves up off the floor. Elders are not going to hit you like that. But there is something when a child talks back and the parent does nothing. Oh, watch out now. There's something when a talker backer is in the church and the elders do nothing. And one thing I love about what we have, these men are going to put up with that. I appreciate that. And you ought to appreciate that. They put up with no talker backers. That's lit. That's in the original language. A talker backer. Notice the text. Titus 1 and verse number 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine, that's healthy teaching, both to exhort, notice, and convict, there's our word, those who talk back, contradict. Let's illustrate this with the scriptures. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 20. In Luke chapter 20, verses 27 through 40, Jesus gives us a great illustration of this. One thing I love about the Bible, it is its own best commentary. In Luke chapter 20, verse 27 through 40, we're not going to read all of this, but I do want to make a couple comments. Remember the Sadducees, they come to Jesus talking about the resurrection. They give him this scenario. And we see in verse number 34, they say, therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife does she become? For all seven have had her to wife. Notice how Jesus answers these talker backers. Jesus answered, said, son of this age, marry and are given in marriage to those who are counted worthy to attain the age, that's the resurrection age. And the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, nor can they die anymore, for they are equal to the angels, and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But even Moses showed in the burning bush passages that the dead are raised. Drop down to verse number 39. Then some of the scribes answered and said, teacher, you have spoken well. But after that, they dared not question him again. How do you handle talker backers? Well, as an elder in the Lord's church, it behooves them to know the word of God. Their responsibility is to know God. That when the gainsayer comes and he or she is speaking perverse things, they have a responsibility and they must enter into the role of taking care of that talker backer. Because if not, it could corrupt the church. When we stop and we consider these points, it's a grave responsibility. And any man that desires to be an elder or deacon, but today an elder, those are things that they need to take into consideration. But there's a beautiful thing about this. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, we see that elders are not in this by themselves. We have a great example there that when you find two who are together and a threefold cord is not easily broken. When one falls, there's one to lift him up. That you're in this together. It's an eldership. It's not a one man show. Which means that you don't have to take care of the talker backers and you don't have to take care of those who are going astray and you don't have to deal with situations by yourself. You come together as a team. And you hold up one another, which means that the responsibility of an elder is to work within the team. Team player. You know, we live in a time today where people don't want to be team players. Even the world knows in sports that if all players are not selfless, most likely they will not win the championship. I say all that to say this. What a great responsibility. What a great role that elders have. Let us help them. Let's hold their arms up. Let's pray for them. Maybe you're not a child of God. I know this lesson was probably more for us, but maybe you received something that will help you to think. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. But maybe a child of God and you need special prayer. You need one of the elders to come see you. You know, every now and then we need that. We need the elders to come see us. I know we sometimes take on the attitude of the world. Hear me out, please. I know you're putting stuff away, but hear this. You want to call your preacher. That's fine. Call me. I will come. But call your elders too. Call them to T-O-O, call them. They will come see you, I promise you. As we stand, as we sing this invitation.